Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 439 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you're just hanging out playing at home, or maybe you're getting ready to go back to your LGS for a Friday night Magic, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's episode, we're going to do a bit of a deep dive on esports.
Yes, because due to some recent announcements about the prize structure of the World Championship and the prize pool, it's come up again. And we're just wondering, what does it even mean to be an esport?
Yeah, it's a very existential question.
Yes. What even is esports?
What is an esport? What
should Magic,
could an esport
yes,
be?
Should Magic even want to be an esport?
Right.
So we'll talk all about that. Plus, we'll have a story time with me.
Yay, Strixhaven story.
Yes. And we're going to do a little bit of flavor text theater.
It's been gone for so long.
That's right. Because we cannot get our hands on PAX. It's like so, it's been so hard during
COVID. The pandemic. Yeah.
It's been so strange. But we have some cards from a box that we cracked in our Strixhaven box opening video.
If you haven't watched that one, highly recommend.
Like, obviously we're biased, but it's definitely the best box opening we've ever done.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It is so fun. We do some Are You Smarter Than a Sixth Grader style questions. It's a great time.
Yeah.
But we're going to do some flavor text theater with them now.
Yeah, check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/goodluckhighfive if you haven't watched it yet. It's a great time. See if you can beat me and Megan in sixth grader trivia.
Yeah. You know, there are some questions which we definitely did not know the answer to.
But only one I legitimately felt bad about not knowing.
Yeah.
But all the rest of them, I'm like, that's fine.
Watch it to find out which question Maria feels bad about not knowing.
Before we start our show, a huge thank you to everyone who supports the show and makes it actually happen by being a patron over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yes, thank you so much. We had our second ever patron-only Good Luck High Five tournament this past weekend. It was 100 card standard.
So good.
It was, once again, just a complete blast.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do it in July just because it's a very busy month with travel and stuff for us, but we will be back with those in August. And so sign up if you just want to have like a great free tournament.
Absolutely free.
With an interesting format. Something that'll be fun and a little off the beaten path. And just have a great time hanging out in the Discord while we all play.
It's so fun. Everyone posts fun memes for each other, encouragement about various plays or decks that, you know, they built. And we give out prizes.
Lots of fun deck names.
It's so great.
It's
so
a very good time.
Become a patron.
Yes. Thank you especially to the Bakers, Hector, Lauren, and Michael.
Yay!
Shout out to all of you. Thank you all so much for becoming patrons in the past week. It really does mean the world to us, and we think that you are extra spectacular.
Are you sure it wasn't Lorne Michaels? The creator of SNL?
You know what? I bet that he formed two different names and made two
he's
different
hide
contributions.
His identity.
Yep, you're right.
Because he's so famous.
Definitely wildly famous.
Hey, if you're famous and you're one of our patrons, let us know if you're a secret famous and you're our patron.
Yes, exactly. Please message us on Patreon or in the Discord telling us what exactly you're famous for.
Oh, we also want to say thank you to Card Kingdom. They're another awesome sponsor of our show. We love them. You can check them out at cardkingdom.com/GLHF. Be sure to use our affiliate link whenever you buy anything for them. Say Good Luck High Five. They'll give you a free sticker or token in your order and get you everything so fast. You'll blink and your stuff will be there.
Yes. If you take an extra long nap, you'll wake up.
And your stuff will be there.
And your stuff will be there.
Oh, don't you love that?
So shipping fast as the blink of an eye or an extra long nap.
It's like when you order food at a restaurant, go to the bathroom, and then you come back and it's there.
Yes.
That's Card Kingdom.
All right, Maria.
Yes.
What even are esports?
I mean, like, we were asking ourselves this question several years ago.
Essentially, what is an esport? Yes, and it's been an ongoing question in Magic.
Absolutely.
For actual years.
And also
at this point,
with other games who are attempting to enter the esports sphere or who have.
Yes.
And successfully or unsuccessfully done so.
So just like off the top of your head.
Okay.
What would you say a game does to be an esport?
Okay. So I would say a game would have to have a competitive environment.
Okay. It has to be competitive.
I don't know. What do I mean? A competitive organized system.
Yes. So it has to have kind of like OP, organized play.
Yeah. It could even be less than that though, because it could just be like, do you want to qualify for this tournament? Play in this one thing to qualify for this big thing.
Great.
So it could be simpler than organized play.
But I'm just saying, like, overall, it has to have the concept of organized play
concept.
Yes.
And then it needs to have prizes.
Prizes. Okay. Competitive play.
Prizes. Yep. And I would say, gosh, I would put hero building in this category.
Okay. Tell us more about that.
So I think about any sport, like, that's got a competitive play system and prizes, which is most of them. You know,
most sports.
I assume pickleball has such things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, they've got, like, you know, we all, if you follow the sport, you know who the top players of the sport are.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There you go. At you. I knew it. I knew it was coming.
Recently, the Bucks beat the Nets in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Oh my God. I don't know what that means. Now I know how people like feel talking when we talk about Magic.
Oh man, Maria, I have to tell you about the way that this game ended.
Ooh.
Okay. So there's like seconds on the clock, right?
Ooh, exciting.
For the end. And they're like not quite tied up. The Nets are down by two. I believe, was it Kevin Durant who takes a shot?
Yeah.
Like, literally as the clock is so running
Gab
out.
So Gab Nassif is roping.
Yes, Gab Nassif is roping.
Okay.
And he's trying for a three-pointer, but his toe was on the line. So it's 2 points to tie the Nets.
Ooh.
And then it goes to overtime where they lose. If he had been half an inch back and he had made the three-pointer instead of a two-pointer, they would have won.
What a misclick.
Sorry. Anyways, that's been Megan updates Maria on a sport that she cares about not at all.
I really like the fact that we had to, that we got a lens though from which to view this.
Yes, exactly. Anyways, I'm loving NBA playoffs this year, y'all.
See, that is an e-sport.
Wait, I think that's a normal sport.
Okay, so I guess the fourth component of being an e-sport is being an E.
Yes, it has to be E in a line.
It has to be E.
E is electronic.
Yeah, what did you say?
I was making a joke about online. It being online, but online. E-line.
E-line. It needs to be electronic.
Yes.
Lee played.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yeah, and I would say part of being electronically played, which makes us sound like we're 100 years old and talking about it, is
so true.
Is you like, it has to look good. People have to want to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, like, although I will say this, a lot of people watch chess.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're right.
and
do you think chess is an e-sport?
Yes. I mean, if they played electronically, I have to, by my definition.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, so remember when I hosted the Extra Life charity tournament?
Yes.
We had a portion where they did chess.
Okay.
And they had announcers come on, and these two women hosted, like, just watching people play in the chess portion of this tournament. And they were incredible.
Wow.
These ladies are just like, now watch what this player did, and this is why they did it. And look, I mean, it was great.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, thumbs up to those chess ladies. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess chess is also an E sometimes.
We now have two metaphors for you. Basketball and chess.
But, yeah, it has to be some sort of E situation.
Yeah, okay. So, I feel like we've established, like, a pretty solid set of guidelines.
Okay, great. Those are
being an e-sport.
Those are the ropes.
Yes. So, is Magic an e-sport?
I think it was.
Yes. Right. Especially during the section of, like, the MPL.
Yeah.
The height of the MPL, the Mythic Championships.
So let's kick it off with the first Mythic Invitational.
Okay. Yes.
That was when Magic
was
like.
Like, they're like, ooh, we are esport.
Yes. And they made a commercial that was like, everyone will know your name because you are a famous Magic esport.
Yes.
Player.
You are a famous Magic esport.
Yeah. And Sir Mix-a-Lot was like, everyone will know your name. We're like, yes. Ooh, Sir Mix-a-Lot will know my name.
Yes.
Did you see, by the way?
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Yeah. Anyways, if you're wondering what we're talking about, Sam Party paid for a cameo from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
So Sir Mix-a-Lot did know
really
his name.
Really great.
Yeah.
Really great.
But yeah, so like we were there. We kicked it off with the Invitational, which I don't think that kind of counts because it was not connected to any organized system. It was just like, you're invited.
Yeah.
And then.
But it was like a big to-do.
Yes. It was a big to-do.
A lot of production value.
Yes.
And
a big prize pool.
Big prize pool.
Andrea Mengucci won the whole shebang.
And just like Lots of viewers.
Fanfare.
Yes. Lots of fanfare.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that kicked off the MPL and Rivals League and all that kind of stuff, which was their legitimate attempt to make Magic an esport like League of Legends or whatever.
Yes.
Right. So I say they tried. Did they succeed? Well, obviously not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because MPL and Rivals are going away.
Yeah.
And so I guess the question is, like, if Magic returned to something like just the Mythic Championships.
Yep.
Where, or the old school Pro Tour.
Yep.
Where you get to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that esport?
I think I would call that esport light.
Okay. What makes it light?
In my opinion, to have a... Gosh, maybe I'm wrong. Because I
am putting you on the spot a lot. I'm asking the questions so that I don't have to answer them.
That's fine. You can be Barbara Walters here.
Great. I would love to be Barbara Walters.
And like, because I don't honestly know the structure of other tournaments.
Yeah.
I mean, other esports, other games, tournaments like Hearthstone, like League of Legends. I don't know if it's an ongoing system as complicated as organized play was.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it.
Yes.
But maybe.
Okay.
So maybe I shouldn't call it esports light. I guess it's really weird because we'll have, potentially, at least they've said, they'll have a combination of paper tournaments.
Yeah.
Like back in the old day with the old Pro Tour, plus digital tournaments on Arena. I mean, it's just like an amalgamation. It's a salad of various ways to play Magic.
Okay.
And I have people watch you. So is it I'm sticking with light. I'm sticking with light.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I agree.
Yeah.
I think, okay. And here... I'm gonna get spicy with it.
Ooh, all right, let's go.
Is that Magic should be and is realizing that they should be more invested than in casual play than the majority of other games that are esports.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right? Like if you look at something like Hearthstone and you're like, okay, what is the proportion of like time and energy that Hearthstone should spend on its competitive scene versus its casual scene.
Yep.
I'm going to argue that the bar for them skews more towards like not the middle even.
Yeah.
But, like they're focusing still more on casual.
Yes.
But Magic is going to be an even bigger share than any of those companies because it has been around much longer. Yeah,
absolutely.
It has its foundation and will always have had its foundation in a paper card game that people can play at home.
Yep.
And that is the primary way that people play.
Yes.
Which is not true for any other game that is an esport.
Yeah. Accurate.
So like, yes, you will have tons of players who have only ever played Arena and are only interested in playing Arena, but they've shown again and again with like their different, what's the word that I'm looking for? Where you ask a bunch
Pants.
Of people questions.
Oh.
Yes.
Interviews.
Nope. It's like a, what's the word? Wow. I'm blanking.
Interrogation.
Hardcore.
You ask people questions?
Surveys. Okay. They've Got shown there. Again and again with all of their survey results, right? That say that the majority of people are still interested in playing casually in person with their friends.
And the vast majority have never played even an FNM.
Exactly. And that is just so wildly different from anything else that is in the esports arena that, like, I think that they were maybe a little bit, like, their perspective was skewed by the huge hype that was around esports for a while.
Oh, for sure.
Like, absolutely
it was immense,
right?
Immense hype. Everybody was talking about it. It was the new hotness.
Everyone wanted to be an esport.
Yes.
And Magic was like, us too. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I get why you thought that for a while, because it seemed like the only thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think that it has been solidly proven that for Magic, it is absolutely not the only thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's not even the thing that you should be doing the most of.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard though, because you want to serve your player base, right?
Yes.
And I think that having a pro play system and big tournaments and stuff is a way that seems like I'm delivering on that promise.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Like I can do that. This is something every sport in the world has set up a model for me, at least baseline of what I should do to be able to do that. But then in the end, Magic is so incredibly diverse in the way it's played, like you pointed out, that unfortunately, this, like, what you're trying to hit, the swath that you're trying to hit, isn't like even half of the pie.
And it's so big.
It's a tiny little sliver.
The swath is enormous.
Enormous.
Like, I think kind of inconceivable to games that have only been around online.
Yeah.
Cannot even fathom, like, the variety of experiences of a Magic player.
Yeah, and I think we can't discount the fact that Magic is the most complicated game to spectate. For instance, even if a game is complicated to play, like, for instance, League of Legends, I keep using them as an example because they're, like, the biggest, but you can watch it and you can kind of figure it out by watching it. And you're like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. They're doing X, Y, and Z. Magic, I don't think that's true.
Right? There's kind of a lot going on.
Like, Arena has done a good job of trying to make it more visually appealing and accessible to watch if you're not familiar with it. But at the same time, you're never going to get there, even to the level of Hearthstone, which is simpler.
Yeah. Like, imagine that you... We had to play Magic. We started playing Magic without ever having a physical visualization of the stack. Yeah. Arena at least shows you. You're like, I get it. There's a stack. But like, first in, last out, baby.
Yep.
You get to see it happen.
There it is. It's a beautiful thing.
Which is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, the answer is like...
There's so many hurdles.
And I don't... Like, it doesn't necessarily make sense for Magic to want to be first an esport and then second anything else.
Yeah.
I think they want to be first the game of Magic that has been around for 25 plus years now.
Right.
And then under, like, one of the branches, one of the many branches of that is we want to have a competitive play scene.
Yes. Agree. The esports light, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that some of the pressure, I think, came from, oh, the prize pools in it are too small as compared to, like, these esports that are coming up now that have huge prize pools. But again, it's like, that's because it's such a big portion of what they do.
And they were developed to do this.
Exactly. Not to do,
like,
something else. Like, Magic was developed, to, like, be a spectated esport with huge prize pools. It was made to sit down with your friends and, like, jumpstart, shuffle some cards together.
Like, oh,
and
look
just,
at
like,
this.
Battle.
I've got a forest. Wow, look at this animal I made.
Exactly.
Like, sorry, I just rewatched the video I made about the alpha playtesters.
Oh,
you know? And they're sitting around, like, in their college dorm just being like, oh, sweet, you have a Mox? Oh, that's cool. Can I trade you, like, this for that? And they're like, yeah, take it.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, like, it was so casual. And, like, Hearthstone was developed specifically to be played on your phone.
Yep.
And also to be spectated as an esport, going in from the get-go, what an advantage you have over something like Magic.
Absolutely.
But what you don't have is the complexity and breadth and depth of a game like Magic. So Magic's got you there, Hearthstone. Yeah. So.
Okay. I don't mean that. People can play whatever they want.
Lots of barriers that are perhaps insurmountable in the end.
And I think also part of the problem is that so much of the discourse about Magic online is driven by, like, people talk about this all the time, but it's driven by such a narrow slice of experience.
So are you talking about MTGO?
I'm talking about Twitter.
Oh,
I'm talking about
I
think that the majority of people who are vocal on Twitter about Magic are interested in playing at least FNM.
Oh,
more.
Yes, absolutely.
They are the people who are interested in going to events, which, again, is not the majority of players.
Correct.
The majority of players, I would argue, are not having conversations about Magic on Twitter.
No.
And so it's really hard if you're a company that's looking for feedback to look at that and be like, oh, all of the people who talk about Twitter online are only talking about tournaments and professional play. Like, of course, you're going to be like, oh, that must be what people want. And it's like, no, there's... Like, Twitter is such a small slice.
Yes, of our pie, which we've mentioned.
Exactly.
And so if a company wants data, that's a really fast and easy way to access data.
Yes, exactly. You just, like, look at it and you're like, oh, okay, boop, 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 boop. Like, here it is.
But that's not an accurate representation.
Yes. And I'm not going to, like, run around being like, Reddit's an accurate representation. Never.
No.
But if you look at Reddit, the Reddit TCG...
Magic TCG
on any given day, it is mostly people being like, look at this cool altar that I did for the first time ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this cool deck box that I made.
Yeah.
Look at this way that I engaged with the game in a way that is not even a little bit about tournament magic.
Yeah.
It's about how they personally were having like a great time in this niche way of theirs.
Right.
And that's like,
so this seems like basically what we're setting up here is that this was a failed experiment from the very beginning.
Yes.
Like there was no way this could have actually succeeded.
And that it was specifically like maybe doomed to fail because it was like informed by the hype of the moment.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
What if we had put the same push, this is the royal we, into this Magic esport that we're trying to do, and we had geared it more towards casual play, still using like, I guess we would, I don't know if we use professional players in this instance or we use community members instead, but like in, they're playing more fun formats, they're playing more casual things. Yeah, no, I can't convince myself of this. It's just
well, I think if you had like this is a very strange and like way back comparison. But if you think about, right, they had the Vintage Super League, Modern Super League,
yep,
and they briefly had the Community Super League.
Yes.
What, like, why not all of those things and like, but, you know, bump it up into this current moment? What if in addition to having a Mythic Championship or the Strixhaven Championship or whatever, you have the Strixhaven Championship, which is for players who are about playing the game at the highest level possible.
Yep.
And then at the same time, you also have some kind of community focused tournament that's like, hey, let's take these, like you nominate people into this or whatever. And then they're going to play a variety of fun formats instead.
Yeah.
Like you can go and see Historic and Standard played at the top. And like those players are still going to have the opportunity to win prize money. But you will also see, like you can also go and watch 100 card Standard. You can go and watch Artisan.
Historic Brawl.
Yes. You can go and watch things that are judged not necessarily by the, you know, by like the absolute, you know,
skill of their play, but the content of their character.
I was looking for something that would like fit the template.
Yeah. I think what you might be describing is what the goal is now for the future of Wizards of the Coast.
So,
you know, like we're not going to just focus on this, but we didn't say we're deleting it.
Yeah.
You know, we just said we're interested in adding some more stuff that'll be more in line with casual play.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that sounds great. And I've always been an advocate for like, let's have more fun tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, I would be so legitimately interested to see how many views Wizards would get for a tournament featuring community influencers.
Yeah.
With a wacky format or two or three wacky formats.
Yeah. Like the Community Super League did great in like the swath of kinds of super leagues.
Ooh, let me say this. And also whatever formats they're playing are then available for people to play on Arena.
Yeah, of course they are.
With prizes the next weekend. Yeah.
And it, like, obviously neither of us would ever say take away Pro Magic.
No.
We like, that's an important part of it. I love that there are people who want to be able to win money playing the game as best as they possibly can and see reward for just sheer play skill.
Yes.
Like for being able to like react to a metagame.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That should always be part of it. But I don't know that it has served Magic well for the past 6 or 7 years to be acting like that's the most important thing that they should be doing.
Yeah.
When it comes to the visual, like what they are presenting the game as.
So what I hope for the future is to have more of a Magic smorgasbord, if you will.
Yeah.
Which
a Magic charcuterie plate.
A Magic charcuterie plate. Thank you. And here's the thing. That doesn't sound as sexy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound like
charcuterie. Charcuterie is very, very tasty, but it is not exactly sexy.
Like, you know, we'll have some other esport, some other game be like, check out our $1 million tournament or whatever. And that's just straight up not going to happen, I don't think, for Magic ever again.
And they have like a laser light show and you're like, sick.
You're like, oh, God, I want lasers.
But you're like, do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I feel like people have kind of proven that they don't.
They certainly didn't want those fake sparks or flames, yes, or whatever.
Exactly.
Ooh, they were fake. Did I just break that news? You could put your hand on them. They were cold.
Whoa! Uh-oh. Maria over here spilling insider secrets.
The inside info. Yeah. So I guess the future for magic for us is like the magic smorgasbord / charcuterie plate that unfortunately doesn't have the sexy hit of the enormous prize pool tournaments. It also doesn't have the hero building of said tournaments like that, like you would see. And I always say golf is the best analogy to magic. And you're not like, oh, this person is the Tiger Woods, this person, because it's a solo sport.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Of everything that you could have picked.
Well, you know, it's like this person is battling on their own behalf. It's not a team sport.
No, I guess you're right.
I don't know. Long distance running. But okay, we don't know those people as well. At least I don't anyway.
Okay. Aside from, Tiger Woods. Wait, why not tennis?
Oh, yeah. Tennis. Perfect example. Oh,
tennis. Way better example.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, same thing. Where you have
there has to be another
individual excellence
where you're just by yourself.
And it's not going to be able to sustain that as much because there won't be the money. People won't be able to do it as a job, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two people will. Or maybe, let's put it at 10. Maybe 10 people will. But yeah, they won't hit that benchmark. They won't hit the huge prize benchmark. They won't hit the, I don't know, maybe they'll put lasers in.
You know, maybe there will be lasers.
But perhaps this change will be a good thing overall for the health of the game going forward into the future. And we won't be leaning on this pro play like stick and just being like, this has to hold us up as a company, as what we're doing. And when that stick was just so, so, so small to support all of the players who play the game.
Yes. And they were constantly changing the stick.
Yeah, that's true.
They were like, okay, it's leaning on the stick. I'm going to pull this stick out and you're going to shove another stick under it. Okay.
Okay, sure. Is it going to be the same size as the stick?
Who knows? Honestly, we know nothing about the stick that we're replacing it with.
Yeah.
We're just using a stick.
Here you go. Okay? And the poor people leaning on the stick are like, whoa, hold on.
Yep, exactly.
Wait, the stick is different. Ah, now I'm walking all weird.
Yeah. So I, it's a weird thing.
It is.
Like what a hydra of a beast.
For sure. That's another way to put it. It's a hydra.
It has so many different heads.
Yeah.
And I'm sure just because they hack off one head of pro play, some other head will grow back.
I mean, maybe they'll be like, we need to make a simpler version of Magic. That's like our, marquee, tournament, whatever.
Yeah.
Exhibition Magic. Let me put it that way. I don't know. There's so many ideas they're probably working through in the building right now that that we don't know as they try to address what the future is going to look like with this huge change of axing. The organized play system as we knew it.
Yeah. For the third or fourth time. In recent memory.
Yes. Yes. I will say, I'm real proud to be a player of the most deep and complicated card game out there. And because of that, this is a side effect. It just can't be this other thing.
Yeah.
Because it just isn't this other thing.
Exactly. And I think that there was a lack of appreciation for the complexity and nuance of the Magic community when we looked at it as it has to be an e-sport or bust.
Yeah.
It was selling short a game that so many people love for so many different reasons.
Yeah. And we get why. It was, it's totally like, I totally see why that happened.
Yep, exactly. It was the frenzy of the moment.
Yep. Yeah.
So, anyways, I would kind of love to, if you want to tell us about why you love and play Magic down in the comments, we would honestly love to hear about it because we know that there are so many different kinds of player who listen to this podcast and they fall everywhere. From players who want to be in the pro scene to players who are the least interested in pro Magic that anyone could ever possibly be.
And we also have pro players.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So, hop on down there, or if you're a patron, hop on over in the Discord and let us know how you're feeling about it and what your dream for Magic would be, because I legitimately just want to know.
Me too.
What would your dream for Magic be?
Great point. Thank you, Barbara.
I'm Barbara Walters.
And this is Good Luck High Five.
All right, Maria. Julia, are you ready for some story time?
Hit me with that story in the face like a hard book.
It's going to be a brief one.
Okay.
Because the bulk of episode 3 of the Strixhaven story, which is where we are right now, is Will and Rowan fighting like a pair of siblings fight.
Classic twins.
They just fight for most of it. Will is like, we need to study more. And Rowan is like, you're so annoying. Get off my case.
Why do they have to do the same thing?
Because they're twins and apparently they've always done the same thing up until
Will
now.
And Rowan.
So they're having a real spat.
Okay.
But Will is friends with Quintorius and they just all call him Quint instead of Quinn, which is a little weird. But anyways, it's very cute. Quintorius is an adorable character in this story.
We love Quintorius.
Yes, he's fantastic. And then Rowan is off hanging out with some Witherbloom friends.
Rowan!
So I love that we can see the two, like, right? They don't only mingle inside Prismari. They have lots of other friends all over the place.
Like you would.
Exactly. And Will is like, you need to study more. And then they get in a fight at a Mage Tower tournament. They're like in the stands watching Mage Tower. And then they try and just like peaceably say hi to each other. But then they get in a giant fight. And like Rowan shocks Will and Will freezes her. And then Professor Onyx, aka Liliana, comes along and is like, my office now.
Does she slap him on the wrist with a ruler?
I mean, she basically does.
Like her arena emote. Yeah.
she takes him to her office and she does, they get in mild trouble, but mostly she's like, listen, you need to focus up because there are Orique who are going to like, something's off.
Oh yeah, that's her deal.
Orique are coming for the school and like, you need to be ready to help.
Yeah.
And she also drops some hint about a different plane. And then Will is like, wait, is she a planeswalker? Anyways.
He doesn't know.
And then, so they're like, Will is like, okay, Rowan, we need to go to the library and study more spells. And Rowan is like, we need to get out there and duel and do some practical practicing, you fool.
I see their fire and ice sides coming out.
Exactly. And so, you know, like Will's doing all of his reading. And then Rowan learns from a Witherbloom mage does this spooky spell while she's making a potion where she like draws life from a pest and puts the essence into the potion to make it more powerful. And so Rowan is interested in this and Will's like, you'll start using magic for dark purposes.
Will she though?
I don't know.
Oh.
But do you know who is using magic for dark purposes?
Liliana. Luca. Oh.
No, surprisingly not. So Kasmina has been watching around everywhere on the plane with her owls.
Yep.
And she sees Luca is working for the Orique. And so she confronts him in a grove and is like,
did we know Luca was working for the Orique?
We knew that he had like gotten himself purposefully captured by them.
Okay.
Right, because he had been on the plane and then he was like, everyone here hates outsiders.
Right.
And he was very frustrated by that. And it is a flaw of the plane, absolutely. So he goes to the Orique and they're like,
we'll take you in.
Exactly. They're like, we'll take you in. And he's like, I'll do work for them.
Okay.
And Kasmina is like, I know that you're angry and I know that you're upset and bad stuff happened in your past. But Extus and the Orique, Extus is the leader of the Orique, are not going to help you process this. You just need to go to therapy, my friend. But Luca is like, no, I will not go to therapy.
That's so funny. That's
I mean,
in
they
this
don't actually
story.
Say therapy. Oh, no. Okay. That's not actually said, but it's some strong subtext.
Got it. You just need to talk to someone professionally
is
about
like,
your problems.
Yeah, Kasmina is like, this isn't going to help you process what happened. And Luca is like, everyone on this plane stinks and I hate them all and I'm going to help the Orique destroy this school.
Wow.
And they get in a fight.
Hard
and
turn.
Kasmina definitely like just like is like
nice.
Because she's much more powerful than he is. But then a bunch of mage hunters come out because apparently like the Orique can control mage hunters.
Those are the spooky spidery things.
Yes, they're the spooky spidery things. And so she's like surrounded by them. And so she has to planeswalk away.
Okay.
Because it's like literally just tons of them. And Extus comes out of the grove and is like, are you sure you're comfortable controlling this many mage hunters? Like, and he's like, yeah, and the Orique all come out of the shadows. And Extus is like, all right, let's go attack the school. So Extus and the Orique and the Mage Hunters and Luca are going to go attack the school.
Luca, what the heck?
I know. He's being a real bad dude.
Luca.
Which is very surprising considering that Mila, his little wolf friend, is a white aligned creature.
We love Mila. Is Mila into this? What's Mila doing?
Mila Kunis is just...
What's Mila Kunis up to these days?
What is she up to these
days?
Well,
I'll tell you one thing she's up to. She just had a cover of Architectural Digest with her home in LA that they built, and they have something called a party barn.
Wow.
There you go.
Wait, when you say they, who's the other person?
Ashton Kutcher.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say they're together now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Wow. Always and forever hearts. Well, not always. He dated Demi Moore, so never
for
mind.
A long time.
Yeah, for a long
time.
Were
they married?
I think so.
I think that they were.
Ooh, now we have to update
you on Ashton Kutcher news. Ashton Kutcher. Wow, that's pretty cool for her.
So you see a tour of their home if you watch your podcast.
Mila the Fox is like, we don't know how she feels about it.
Yeah.
We haven't really heard.
Well.
But... anyways, so that's what's going on. Mostly spats between the siblings. Who knows if one of them's going to turn out bad. Will is really throwing... like, I feel like they're painting Will as, like, kind of the goody two-shoes of the pair.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to... I can't tell if they are trying to do it as, like, he's the actual good one.
Yeah.
I think not. I think that they're trying to show that, like, they both have like flaws. Because he throws around some real accusations, like, you're just like our birth mom. And Rowan's like... that's a slap in the face. I don't know enough about their background to know why that's a slap in the face. But anyways. Huh. And he's just like, you're going to end up just like Oko, letting dark magic overtake you. And Rowan's like, you're a goody two shoes.
You know what? Maybe Rowan is the new Liliana.
That would be sick.
That's
there was a point in, I think, at the end of episode 2.
Yeah.
When Liliana was like, oh no, people are coming. And she looked out the window and like Rowan was there with her friends. And Liliana was like, I have to recruit help, which is obviously what she was doing when she like slapped them on the wrist in her office.
Mm.
So I feel like Rowan could be.
All right. Maybe Liliana is going straight as a character. And so Rowan's like, hello, I'm here.
Rowan is here to be like the new multifaceted. I'm kind of good. I'm kind of bad.
Okay. All right. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And I'm also here for Will's voice lines on Arena.
Remember when we found out
that Billy Boyd did his voice?
Billy Boyd did his voice.
I was shocked. And we broke the news on this program.
We broke years old news.
It was news buried for many eons.
Yes.
Easily accessible, but nobody knew about it.
Nobody knew about it. Anyways. So that's what happened with episode 3.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll go through episode 4 in the future sometime.
Oh, great story time.
What's going to happen when the Orig attacks Strixhaven?
I mean, I don't know. Is that going to be the next Strixhaven set, ? When we meet the Shadow School, as we've called it?
We've thought many times that we're going to meet a Shadow School.
So the next episode, it might be the final installment.
There's two more.
Two
for
more?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. There's all episode right. 4 and episode 5. So get ready. Maria, are you ready for some Flavor Text Theater?
We haven't played Flavor Text Theater in so long.
I know. I just grabbed like a pile of cards that we opened.
Great.
From our Strixhaven box opening. So I'm just going to spread these out.
All right.
And we're just going to draw a mix of stuff and give you some movie pitches.
Movie pitches. All right.
Because it has been so long.
It's been so long. It's been forever long.
All that happens, if this is your first ever movie pitch with us, is we're going to draw cards at random and then we are going to pitch you a movie based on the name of the card.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you should have gotten the one that I just drew, Megan.
Okay, tell me about it.
So this is a film. It's been black and white. Because it's like very, it's produced by like A27. It's very like, it's already in the Criterion Collection. What happens in this film is, oh God, I'm just going to describe a film that already exists. I'm just realizing.
It's okay.
But what happens is there's a professor. Mm-hmm. And she teaches, you know, writing at an esteemed university.
Okay.
And everybody wants to take her class because she's so good. She has all the awards, all of her books make people weep. They're just like American classics. She's a prodigy. and then one day a student walks in on her writing her next manuscript, and she writes everything by hand, which is a little unusual.
Yeah.
But she does. And everyone's kind of like, maybe there's something off about her. But what she walks in on her writing the next manuscript, and she didn't realize that she was a character in her book, like the student. And she realizes as this professor writes the words, she starts doing whatever the professor has written. So like she is influencing the lives of people outside the campus into doing whatever she wants in her in her novels. So like so that was her defense. She's like, oh, you caught me. She's like takes a rope and ties it around her neck or whatever. It's dark, everybody.
Wow. She makes the student kill herself.
Yeah, this is, I told you this is 824. She murders
the student.
This is 824. Yeah. Okay. And so straight up murders a student, and or she keeps getting acclaim and prizes and all these things until the students figure out what's going on, and they break into her office and steal her pen and turn the pen on her in tenured ink caster.
Whoa! That's great.
That's spooky.
That's very spooky.
I spooked myself just telling about
that. And it is a little bit like Stranger Than Fiction.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Which is a strangely delightful movie.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, I love Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay, this is the story of a high school athlete.
Okay.
Who instead of going to class is just always out on the field. Like they love it. And everyone is like super frustrated with like all of their teachers, even their family is like you need to actually do other stuff with your life than always being out on this field. We'll say that they play soccer.
Okay.
And so it turns out that one of the people that they've angered is like a generation's, like, comes from a generation of witches.
Ooh,
and they're like,
watch out.
They cast a spell on them that they are forever confined to that field. And they end up living there for like millennia.
Wow.
Forever and ever and ever. And it turns out the twist in this movie is that that happened in the way past, and we see that person eventually catch up to the present day.
Cool.
And they know the history of that entire field in Quintorius Field Historian.
I was like, what card is this?
One, they know the history of one field.
Well, this next film is actually going to be a TV show, kind of like, I don't want to say The Dating Game. The Dating Game. That was the name of it, right? Where you had three people and asked them and you went on a date with one of them, plus American Gladiator.
I'm already super into this show. Like, green light. I green light it. Like, let's go.
I got to figure out the details here, but it's a little sadistic. So what's going to happen is when asking the people like questions like, what's your ideal first date, or I'm sad, how would you cheer me up, the answers then from the contestants, the audience, and in fact the people watching at home can vote thumbs up or thumbs down on the answers these people are giving. So they're gonna go on a date with one of them, but the audience, we're more involved now, and so every time the audience thumbs down an answer from a contestant, even if the person asking the question likes it, a giant rock will get a little bit closer to them from the ceiling. And like, you know, they could be crushed under said rock by the end of this show. So like, how statistic are Americans? We'll soon find out.
Wow.
If they want to see
the
somebody
answer is very
crushed to death under a rock.
They do.
Which they do, obviously. And then we get to see the disappointment in the the person asking, like, oh, no, I wanted to go on a
date with someone who gets crushed by a rock. This show is, I want to make this movie. Like, we need to see this happen.
This is a weird dystopian future show, like Ow My Balls. Similar. It's called Crushing Disappointment.
I love it. I am in love with this idea.
You hear the chain of the rock just like, they're like, no! I just said ice cream!
Absolutely. A plus.
Horrifying.
Okay, this is another, this is like another like teen dramedy.
Great.
And this one is about, also slightly dystopian, it's about a girl who lives in a family of dentists, right? And all of her family have like perfect teeth. And at school, she's like kind of an outcast.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't really conform to normal expectations.
Her teeth are so nice.
And her teeth are not.
Oh, they're like, not
she has,
nice.
She's declined to get any kind of orthodontia done.
Okay.
Which all of her family want her to do. And they all have it. And like everyone at the school has gone to her family, who are this family of orthodontists and dentists, and have like beautiful teeth.
Great.
And so it's like a classic kind of one of those ones where like the popular guy is like, I'm going to make her over for prom or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he like makes her over and he like convinces her to like get Invisaligns and stuff and like, you know, makes her beautiful. And then they go to prom together and then it turns out like she's just been smiling with closed lips. And at prom, she like gives a full face smile and her teeth are all still crooked because she did not get orthodontia at all. And she's like, your standards are messed up. I'm just going to keep being myself.
I thought you were going to say it was a horrible monster face.
No, it was not
inside
a
horrible.
No.
Okay, thank God.
In beaming defiance.
That's great. I'd watch
that
teen movie.
So just like all those movies should have ended with her just being like, no, your standards suck.
I'm going to put my glasses back on.
Exactly. She's like, I never got braces. Because your standards
tricked
are
you.
Messed up.
I love that. This film is also kind of like a teen film. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I'm just going to describe the plot of Twilight here.
Great. I'm into it.
You know, there's teens in a high school. One of them's a little different, but ostensibly the same age as all of them, knows all the answers to every single test. And, you know, they answer, raise their hand whenever the teacher asks mm-hmm. them something. They know where everything in the town is. They can recall events from 30 years ago. And then one of the people is like, one of the friends is like, hold on, what's going on here? They realize that that person never ages and they've been 16 for 1,000 years like a vampire, but they are there and locked in time in order to save that particular friend group from a disaster about to befall the school.
Wow.
But will they save them or will they just let them go because they didn't like them? I don't know. Ageless Guardian.
Nice.
Ageless Guardian.
Sick. Okay, this is kind of like a retelling of Rumpelstiltskin, except at like it's after it. And in this version, instead of being able to find out his name, she never did. So Rumpelstiltskin came and like claimed her firstborn kid.
Okay.
Right. And like took him away to like raise him wherever.
Yeah.
And so what's her like the princess of the story or whatever is like, okay, I have to go find my kid. And so she sets out on like an odyssey length of journey.
Wow.
For like 20 years, traveling the entire world, trying to find her kid again. And it's like the question of like, how will she know that it's her kid? Like,
she doesn't even know his name.
Exactly. She doesn't even know his name.
Wait, doesn't she learn his name? And that's how she takes power from Rumpelstiltskin?
From Rumpelstiltskin. Yes.
Okay.
So she never, in this version, she never knew Rumpelstiltskin's name. So it's like her questing to find this monster and to find her kid. And obviously at the end of it, like she finds her kid and he's also questing to try and find like the person who stole him away from his family when he was a kid and claim the firstborn.
Oh, that's cute. I like that one. This next one, this is much like High School Musical. It's exactly the same, except it's a play in big play.
Yes.
You're like,
let's do it.
High School Musical was just such a hit. Why don't we do the same thing except no song?
Music. Everyone's like, wait a second.
Wait, that's why it was? Okay.
Okay. I take you into, once again, a dystopian future.
Yes.
Where, when, or maybe it's just like a very science forward, just like future.
Okay.
And in this world, when people like right before you die, you can get put into a pod. And the thing is that you have to stay in the pod for the same amount of time that you were alive because it will unage you.
Wow. So it's going to rebirth you out that pod?
Yes, exactly. And you like, you will be able to like, you know, they won't take you all the way back to being a baby. Actually, let's say that they do. They take you all the way back to being a baby. And then people, instead of having more kids, like get a baby from a pod. This is weird. This is getting real weird.
This is how we're controlling population.
Exactly. And you never die, really, although you don't have your memories.
Okay.
No. All right. Because you get unaged to the point where you're a baby. Okay? But it turns out that someone goes and like opens all of these pods
the
before
Matrix.
They're ready. Yes, it's basically the Matrix. And so it's all of these people that only have like half memories
and are
anywhere between like being kids and being adults in rushed rebirth.
Wow. That's my favorite one right there.
It's kind of like a weird Matrix-y.
Yeah. Like waking up from the middle of a dream and you're just like,
exactly. And you're like you're in the middle of a life that you knew, but also time has passed. Like you de-aged. Like if you were in the pod for 20 years, 20 years passed.
Yeah.
And you're 20 years younger.
Wow.
And like you think that yesterday was yesterday, but yesterday was 20 years ago.
But also you don't remember yesterday.
That's true.
So who knows when it was.
Wild.
I'm watching it. I'm watching it. Well, that was a pretty good one. Do you want to stop there? You want to keep going?
I'm tapping out. All right, that's my last
one.
We'll
tap out on that winner. The one I had drawn was environmental sciences, which it's just a class.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yep, there we go.
Yep.
Well, that's your look at Flavor Text Theater. Call us, MGM. And
you know that
Paramount.
You want these.
You know you want these.
Netflix, I know that you want to make
like
a Noah Centineo, what's in his name?
What's who?
The guy who's in like To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Oh, and,
like,
yeah. All the, you got to put him in
want,
this.
Yeah, you want to make that movie with him.
And TNT, I know you want to produce Crushing Disappointment.
Absolutely.
/ Nickelodeon. You've already got the slime machine, so just make it drop Great. Rock instead. Hello, we'd like to thank Ultra Pro.
Because they're great.
They're great.
They announced a bunch of, Wizards of the Coast announced a bunch of secret lairs today.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh man, I love this Rebecca Gay art from Mother of Runes.
Of course.
But I'm never going to play Mother of Runes in a deck. I want to be able to enjoy and like love this art without playing the card. Ultra Pro is going to be having playmats of them.
Yes, I'm so excited about this. So
it's so good.
There are so many amazing artists there that they have in this new secret lair drop.
Incredible. Like absolutely unbelievable. And my like very, very honestly, my top way to enjoy the secret lair art is via playmats.
Absolutely.
Because I don't play all of these cards.
Right, I know. That's what I'm always sad about. I'm like, oh, these are so cool, but I just don't play them.
Exactly. Do you know what? Ultra Pro's got you covered. Go and get yourself a beautiful playmat that everyone, when they look at it, will gasp and be like, oh, I love it.
I mean, they did when I was playing the event, the Modern Horizons event.
Me too. Someone was like, I love that playmat.
Yeah.
I
had my Opt.
Yes.
Out?
And I had Harmonized for my Mystical Archive.
Yeah.
And they're just so gorgeous. And people are like, I love those. And I saw like, playmats that I love that other people were playing on Spell Table.
Yeah.
So cool. Get in on that action with Ultra Pro.
Everybody, that is our show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Yes. Thank you for going on a dive into what does e-sport mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, Merriam-Webster already called us, and they're going to put this episode under the definition.
Absolutely. It'll be, even if you open a paper dictionary, it will be an audio button that you play.
And then you'll hear the show.
And then you'll hear this episode.
Absolutely.
And they're like, thank you so much. So, you're welcome, Merriam-Webster.
Speaking of hearing this episode, I just want to let you know, if you are a patron, by the way, thank you everybody who is a patron. We could not make the show without you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely true. So you get access to our special RSS feed.
Ooh.
So what happens if you are a patron, you get that link and you can put that into whatever podcast aggregator you happen to like best. And it'll automatically populate it with Good Luck i5, with the upkeep, with anything that has an audio file.
Whoa.
That is just like only audio file. So like
sick.
You can just hear the Good Luck i5 and the upkeep on this on one feed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Nice.
Super fun, all in one place.
Great reason to be a patron.
Yeah. And I just supported a show and they did that. And I was like, well, geez, we do that too. And I got to talk about it because it's so convenient.
It's pretty awesome.
You know, it's clicking on two feeds. My finger gets tired.
Yeah, man. Thank you as well to Card Kingdom and Ultra Pro, two amazing sponsors of this show who make it happen.
Yeah. And Lauren Michaels, there's still time for you to become a patron.
Call us. We don't want any, like, unlike so many people who are like, I want an audition for SNL. We don't want that. We want you to give us $5 a month.
That's, you can be scroll level, Lauren.
Literally, no one else will ever ask you for less than we're asking you right now, Lauren Michaels.